All right, howlers, let's get howling. But first, a couple quick warnings. First warning, this podcast contains adult content.
Don't be a pixie.
Second warning, this podcast contains spoilers for the entire Red Rising saga.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. So many things.
All the things.
You can follow us at HowlerPod or at HowlerPodOfficial on TikTok, and then email us at HowlerPod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then you can't wear cool bucket hats.
Shit. And now, HowlerPod.
Ow!
Hello, Howlers. Welcome to HowlerPod, your podcast for all things Red Rising, where every episode we dive deep to break down, celebrate, and discuss all aspects of the fantastic Red Rising saga by Howler number one, Pierce Brown.
Ow, ow!
I am your host, Ben Reinert. I am joined today, as always, by the amazing Aaron Harris.
Hello, Howlers.
Aaron, what are we doing today?
We're still in our prime time 25, pew, 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 numbers 11 through 15.
Yes, or 15 through 11.
That way.
Yes. We are counting down the prime 25, our 25 most prime characters in all of Red Rising.
How'd you feel this week? I got a little squirrely.
Mine's it's a pretty evil set of people this week for me.
See, I had that whole setup, and then I was like, I don't like some of these people. I was like, kick them out. Fuck these people. Bring people back in. I brought in some of my honorable mentions from before. It's loose. We don't know. Something you'll know about me week to week. My favorite people are going to be different people.
It's a living list. It's...
Favorite book? Ask me tomorrow. I don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know. How do we feel?
Just for the people that may not have listened to the first two episodes, what does most prime mean to you?
This week it was more like vibes. I'm getting more on the vibes, less analytical. I brought in people that I was like, you know what? I didn't give them a chance early on. Yeah. And
your criteria was too strict.
Yes. Yeah. Like best fighter doesn't best necessarily mean like best person.
You know? Yeah.
How about you? What about this week?
Still vibes, although now I'm starting to get kind of self-conscious about the list.
I know, the closer I get to the top, well, I'm not going to say who, but someone was like too low and I'm like, I'm going to get torn up. So I'm like moving them up, moving other people down.
Yeah.
Worried about what the other howlers think about my list.
So like now I've got a lot of bad guys on this list and probably not like very many bad guys in my top 10. So I was like, I'm overthinking that piece.
I don't know that I have bad guys in my top 10.
Okay. Well, then we're good, I think. So
we like the good guys, you know. Yeah. Pierce is good at writing bad guys, but you know, we are all still rooting for who we're rooting for.
So still vibes, but now I'm just starting to get self-conscious about the vibes.
Sure.
But we're soldiering through it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're sticking with it. I haven't made any changes yet. So
you haven't?
No.
Oh, I've you know. I think my number one will stay number one, but otherwise it's fluid.
I love that. Love that. Do you want to start today?
Oh, sure.
Who's number 15 on your list?
So 15 for me is Aure. The pink. Aure. How do you say it?
I don't know.
I say it like Tim Gerald Reynolds.
How does he say it?
R.A.
I think that's right then.
That was a terrible... I'm so sorry. Don't come for me. We need our boy Nick from across the pond.
Yeah.
To say things for me in a British accent. So I just think even though we didn't have her for a long time, I think... this is one where we had her for a good time. Yeah. I think she is very impactful for our main characters. And as a pink, you know, Theodora obviously was maybe the most impactful pink before Aure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. like, she's got the hots for the hotties. Like, I also love Diomedes and Cassius, you know, like, I'm with you, girl.
They've got the hots for her.
Everyone has the hots for her. Yeah. I mean, men, women, everyone has the hots for Ari. I have the hots for Ari. So that's probably why she's on here. Favorite moment. She helps. I had a bunch. She helps Cassius escape Europa, stands up to Diomedes being like, you know, challenging his space racism. Like, you think I'm less than you?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's pretty badass.
It is very badass.
And he's a big dude. Big, scary dude. And then just giving Darrow the book.
Yeah, she sets him on the path of Lightbringer.
You know, if you think of the ending of Lightbringer, that we couldn't have gotten there. We couldn't have beat Volsung Fa in the duel with the wind and the way.
Yeah.
What are the words? Without Ra getting breath of stone.
Yeah.
Thank you. Without her putting Darrow on that path of self-realization, self-improvement, meditation.
Yep.
She's really the reason for that. We kind of had lost Darrow to despair. So
highly impactful character.
Yes.
And probably you and I's favorite book in the series. So I think that.
Yeah. We love a happy winning story. And then quote wise, it's when she's talking to Diomedes. Look me in the eye, Diomedes, and tell me I should serve you. Tell me you matter more because of the sigils on your hands. Tell me I am less than
Hell
you.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty hot.
Get his ass.
And then they probably had sex after that. Off screen.
We can only hope.
We can hope for Diomedes' sake. What's your number 15?
Mine is Romulus. All
right.
So
good Moony moment.
Yes, you had him, I think, on your list last episode. So
he's daddy.
I love Romulus. I mean, probably he's definitely my favorite Moony over Diomedes. But just, I mean, I admire this guy, even though he's
what do you think about the
guy.
Like willing suicide?
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite moment. The walk to the dragon tomb. It was just badass. Even though he didn't quite make it there, he was 10 steps short or whatever. Still.
We can't get everything we want.
Yeah. It was still honorable. And that's what he's all about.
Yeah.
And then my favorite quote is also from that scene. And it's not the quote to Dido.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the quote to Diomedes where he says, "What luck I have to call a man like you, my son. It is an honor you cannot understand. One day you will have children, and if you have just one who's as dear as you are to me, you will understand how blessed my life has been. Stay true to your own heart, no matter the cost."
And you're also a son, so that's got to hit. That's got to hit pretty hard.
As a person who's lost a parent, like, I don't know. That's like exactly what you want to hear from your parent before
they
move
walk
on.
Into the
yes. So
dramatic.
I don't know. Yeah, it hits me right in the feels for sure. But like, I think that sets Diomedes on a path for sure. Like
honor above all.
Yes.
Honor in the first.
Right. And so like, and staying true to his own heart no matter the cost, like. He's doing that now. And so I think like those words have paid off in a way that we'll continue to see with Diomedes. And I love that how he's shaped by his dad and the relationship between the two of them. I think it's just beautiful.
That's similar to the quote that Kavik says to Daxo before Daxo
right.
dies.
Yeah.
That's another one where you're like, someone's dying.
Yeah.
You can't have this. Unfortunately, you can't have this moment.
You cannot have this beautiful moment
without
forever.
Someone dying. Thanks, yeah. Pierce.
Yes.
So him walking was the moment.
Yes.
Okay.
And
so it's
the
all
kind
of the same.
It's kind of like right before that.
Yeah.
Right before he takes off. So.
What a cool dad.
Yeah. Other than like, he's kind. He, you know, he has slaves. Other than that part.
Other than that.
<He's>
oh, yeah, I forgot. Space racism.
I know. It's
we
hard
it.
To be like, gosh, I really like this guy. But I mean, for a, like, quote unquote, he's like a good bad guy.
Sure.
You know?
Good bad guy.
And we can find ideals and characteristics in him that we like and
it's
admire.
Complex, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. He's,
many
he's
layers.
Like an onion.
Onion. Like Shrek. Okay. 14?
Yes.
This is one that I had like fully cut that I threw back in.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And part of the reason is like him early in the series versus later in the series.
Yeah.
So it's Dancer.
Okay.
I kind of like hate him in Dark Age because he's like so into being a political person against Darrow,
right,
following the rules. But I mean, Dancer really shapes Darrow from the beginning. He's kind of like the father figure after Darrow's dad dies, besides Uncle Narrell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Dancer's the reason he like chose Darrow to be Ares's subject, one of them.
Yeah.
And then he also like brings Severo the carving tape. He gets Severo on board with mm-hmm. Darrow as a Red. There's a lot of like good Dancer does, and then he dies horribly, obviously, but
he doesn't.
And then, you know, we get his backstory in Dark Age, being a gay man in the mines, being mm-hmm. persecuted, and you know, all the hardship he went through behind the scenes that we don't read about. So I kind of was like, I was too harsh on Dancer because I was just like, fuck
him.
That guy. Yeah. And I like cut him without really, you know, there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of history and, you know, before he's a public figure. So yeah, that was all of everything I just said was kind of the favorite moments, like all the good he did for Darrow. And, you know, we wouldn't have Darrow as he is without Dancer.
Yeah.
Another person who has shaped Darrow's path. And then, quote, I said, "Look into yourself, Darrow, and you'll realize that you are a good man who will have to do bad things." Mm-hmm. That was Dancer, remember?
Yeah.
I forgot. I so quickly am like, nope, hate that guy.
I'm reading Golden Sun right now, and the Harmony just told Darrow about Dancer's death and how much it like impacts him in that moment.
Uh-huh.
And he actually kind of thinks about this quote about him having to do bad things.
Uh-huh.
But then he kind of has his conversations with Carnus and Tonya, sees Mustang. He's like, I can't do this. And I'm just at the Gala duel scene.
Gala, so bring it back.
Awesome. Yeah. Who's, Golden Sun's good book.
Is Dancer on your list at all?
He's not.
Yeah.
No. I'm so mad at him.
I know, it's tough. You really kind of have to separate.
Yeah. First trilogy versus
yeah,
second.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
a lot of these characters.
Yep. And what? Speaking of,
okay,
one right here, my number 14 is Orion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not saying anything, but that was one where I was like on and off the list.
Yeah.
But yeah, it goes really dark.
It does. It yeah. goes really dark and bad at the end. But
she was tortured.
She was. Yes, like psychologically tortured in a really bad
just
way.
I mean, you torture me for 5 seconds. I'll right. give you what you want.
And ultimately, she was like, she was right about the Mercurians not ever getting on board with the Rising.
Sure.
So like, not saying that they deserve to die because of that.
Be drowned to death.
Yes, but she was right about that.
Yeah, they got tsunamied.
And that ended up being what cost Darrow that war in the end. Mm-hmm. It's like that they flip sides, basically, yeah, and helped Lysander out. So not justifying genocide.
Never.
But in the first trilogy, Orion's so much fun.
Oh, yes. Puts her hand up.
Yes.
Stands up.
Amazing.
The like, only blue to like rise up.
Yes. And she's got like, and she's like mouthing off to Darrow all the time.
Pirate. She's a pirate.
It's good stuff. So like Orion in the first trilogy, one of my favorite characters. And yeah, that is my favorite moment, is like kind of her intro. And she actually punches Palus in the face, who's like,
I forgot the guy, Palus.
He's the dude that's piloting the Morning Star in Dark Age, like across the Ladon.
Oh.
Like he's.
That's the one she punches?
Yeah. He was there trying to be the captain. She actually punches him.
And she's
in the
like,
face.
Fuck you, I'm the
he's
captain.
He's the person that she punches in the face.
Darrow's like, I like your pizzazz.
Yeah. And then she gets the badge as the captain of the Pax, and you know, give me the badge and I'll carve you a hole back to Mars, boy. That type of stuff. It's good stuff from her. That's not my quote though. My favorite quote from her is in Morningstar, after she's come back, she's being a pirate, Darrow gets reconnected with her or whatever. They're about to fight the Battle of Ilium. And she says, just want to say thank you, Darrow, for believing in me, for giving me this. After today, Blue will have no master. Good speed, boy.
Good boy.
She calls him boy all the time.
I like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just that to me, like encompasses Orion really well, and like, and
I like the pre-bitterness.
Right. I like the tender moment between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
back the ship.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Before she kills everybody.
Yes. And then we'll just like, you know.
And then Darrow turns her off and we're all okay with that.
Yes, it probably had to happen. All right. Who's number 13 on your list?
She has a lot of player killer skulls. Someone's reading Dungeon Crawler, Carl. 13 for me is Lyria.
Okay.
Another one.
Didn't you already have Lyria on the list?
Lyria was my honorable mention.
She was honorable mention. Yes. Okay. She didn't make your top 25. No. Okay. Now you put her on. I threw off
Atalantia for Lyria.
Yeah.
Reason being, I was like, Atalantia is a baddie and she's a huge part of the story and we hear a lot about her, but mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I was like, I can't think of any favorite moment with Atalantia or any good quote.
Right.
I mean, she's kind of like more a looming idea. So
than an actual character.
So yeah. I booted her and then I was like, I should give Lyria a chance. Lyria is someone I've always been hard on from the get go. You know, I think part of it is I started Iron Gold as an audiobook and that was tough for me getting in the new voices and then switching voice actors in Dark Age was tough. So I think people who read Lyria might have had a better understanding of the character than maybe I did as an audiobook listener. I don't know if you ever listened, but since like going back and reading and I'm like, okay, Lyria has depth. She's had a lot of terrible things happen to her. She has a lot of reason to be hateful. And I think despite all the shit that's happened to her, she's actually got a lot of empathy. She shows a lot of empathy towards the Golds who she hated when mm-hmm. she meets them. She's like, you know, thinking of Mustang and all the shit she has on her shoulders and like feeling bad for her. And
right.
So anyways, I've always been a little too hard on Lyria. So I threw her in because she's also a huge part of the story. Favorite moment is, I mean, she rescues Volga and Victra from the Red Hand and all those other girls. Mm-hmm. She fucking, you know, Go-Go Gadget breaks her tooth. Is Go-Go Gadget maybe like...
Go-Go Gadget acid tooth.
Acid tooth.
Who doesn't have one of those?
Right? Probably more like James Bond would have been a better one. So, I mean, that's when, even though she's weak, before she has Figment even, she's brave in the face of giants.
Yeah.
She's also like super kind to Victra and understanding and helps Victra come back after Ulysses.
Saves our boy Kavix from drowning in a river.
I mean, that's where she starts off. Yeah. So anyways, I don't need to, I shouldn't be the one justifying why Lyria is a good character. And then favorite quote is, they planted us in stones, watered us with pain. And now they marvel we have thorns.
That just goes hard.
It goes hard. Yeah. And it shows that she won't take no shit.
Yeah.
She's like, of course I'm a bitch. Of course, I hate all of you. You know, you ruined my life.
Plenty of reasons to.
Yeah.
And she does.
And everyone hates Gammas all of a sudden. And she used to be popular. Now she's mad.
Yep. Tough for her. This transitions well to my number 13,
really?
Which is Volga.
Nice.
Yeah.
If I had a muffin, I would eat it.
That's my quote, actually.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. I was like, that has to be the quote.
There's no way. Shit. What's my quote going to be? Volga might be on my list.
She would probably be in my top 10, to be honest, but Lightbringer.
It's another one where you're like,
tough.
Going good. Ah.
Yeah. I really love her in Iron Gold and Dark Age, but I do have some issues with her choices in Lightbringer.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she heart punches a bunch of people.
Right. It was tough.
That's tough to read.
There were some tough moments there. She was getting brainwashed by her weird dad. So,
yeah. And you're like, come on.
Or her weird granddad or something. I don't know.
Grandpapa.
Favorite moment, kind of similar to yours, but like romping through the forest of Mars with Lyria and Victra. Romping makes that sound a lot more fun than it was.
It wasn't fun. We were killing babies.
But the three play of them yeah. together was just really great.
The unlikely trio.
Yes, exactly. And her pairing with Lyria is fantastic. So I love them
writing notes with their fingernails and yes. blood. So cute.
Talking to each other, giving each other shit, you know, like.
For you are tiny and I am huge.
Yeah. And then my favorite quote is just because it's the cutest goddamn thing I've ever heard in my entire life is if I had a muffin, I would eat it.
It's yeah. just like she yeah. says what everyone yes. is thinking.
I would too.
I would also eat. I frequently eat muffins if they are in front of me.
Oh, yeah. Who can say no to yes. a muffin?
You bring a muffin to work. I guess I'm eating it.
It's just so perfectly her in every single way. And, you know, we started
and
this
it's her
thing,
before she
right,
heart punches everyone.
Calling her she cute all the time.
She cute.
And we lost all those moments in Lightbringer. She was not cute.
Not
yeah.
cute. Do you think she'll become...
I'm hoping for cute again.
I don't know.
By the time Red God comes around.
I think she's got to be a queen now.
That's true. She's in like a whole different...
Yeah.
But even then, she had some good moments in Lightbringer. Just like her like being obsessed with Cassius, I thought was hilarious.
He's
and just,
the
like...
most beautiful man I have ever seen. Yeah. You love that. You're like, me too, girl.
Oh, that was great. So yeah, Volga, number 13.
I love it.
Those dovetailed well together.
All right, taking a turn.
Yeah, it's
one of my favorites.
Number 12?
In the whole series.
Okay.
Wow. Apollonius.
Didn't even make your top 10?
No, because he's like such a bad guy.
Okay.
But I fucking love Apple. I mean, he's naked all the time. He's a Greek god. Yep. He plays the violin. He's got a bunch of insane quotes.
Yes.
And just the way TGR does Apple is hilarious.
So good.
He talks like, you know, I can't do it, of course. Favorite moment, of course, is when we meet him. Mm. The intros. Pierce is so good at descriptive intros.
Yeah.
He's naked. There's pink whores. He's playing the violin, long blonde curly hair. And then he like almost kicks the shit out of Darrow and
they're
Severo.
Like in
and
deep shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, shit, he's huge. Yeah. And he like, you know, he almost ruins the whole plan. Tunglus is still there. He you know,
yep.
luckily.
Yep. He saves him.
He saves him. And then there's so many quotes. If you go through like, what's
my
favorite Apple quote?
It's going to be so hard.
They're like long and ridiculous and amazing. Just soliloquies. Just... It's almost like when you talk to Pierce and he gets going, you kind of see some of that in him. Yes. When he like goes on a rant about some history thing that I don't know about because yeah. I'm terrible at history. And you're just like, this feels like Apple. This, you know, that might also be why I love Apple.
That's a good call out.
So to pick one was in Lightbringer when Darrow goes to save Severo and he says, Darrow, Darrow, Darrow. This is my low voice. Truly, you are divine, for you have answered my prayers. Welcome to the dockyards of the Minotaur. Welcome to your doom.
Welcome to your doom.
And TGR is like, you know, I can't do it. Go listen. I swear to God, it's amazing.
It's so good. I freaking love this guy. Like,
he's insane, but in like a fun way.
I know.
I really hope he fucks Lysander over so hard.
I think we have to get that.
I mean, them pairing together, it has to end badly for Lysander, I hope.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I probably will end up badly
right.
for Apple.
I feel like, yeah, I think Lysander knows like it's going to go sour at some point with Apple. And I'm assuming the way that Lysander is, he's going to be ahead of the game there and probably trying to screw over Apollonius. Before Apollonius screws him over,
Apple will be like doing a long speech and Lysander will pull out a gun and shoot him.
That would be his style.
You know?
Yes. But I feel like.
Because he's a pixie bitch.
What's going to happen is like, I don't know. Like, he's going to have this betrayal of Apollonius. We're going to think Apple's dead. But then he's going to like.
Not be dead.
Pop out and just be like, break surprise, bitch. Yeah. And
hit
really,
him with a violin.
And Lysander's be like, oh, well, fuck.
Yeah.
And he's going to contribute to the downfall.
That'd be great.
That would be my ideal scenario.
There, we wrote it. We wrote Red God. All right. What are you on? 12?
12, yep. Another villain here. This is Atlas.
You're all villains.
Yeah, my last two are villains.
Oh, Atlas.
Atlas is here.
Yeah, he's a big baddie.
I mean, just such a fucking scary guy. Like, probably the scariest villain in the series.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, he's the pulls up butt master.
Yes, I mean, just, and I that's that kind of goes with my favorite quote, which is, "Distance has sanitized war nearly as much as Stoneside's fucking ramblings. It has made it easy, romantic. I have no interest in sanitization nor romance. I apply scientific methods to produce psychological trauma in our enemies in order to create psychological casualties, to end their willingness to fight and shorten this war. That is my purpose." He's just
he also creates psychological trauma in us, readers.
I feel like that just explains him. That quote right there is like, he sees everyone as just like the
number.
Yeah, like the meat sacks that we are.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well,
I have to scare the fuck out of you so you guys all stop joining the war effort. Yeah.
I have this mission, and the mission is the only thing that matters, and I will literally do
anything
to make sure it's completed.
The mastermind behind the Askamani and Volsung Fall.
Right. Yes. So just like the strings he's pulling from all over the place, like the fact that we all saw his head explode and we're all like, was it really him? Or like, can he still be alive? Or what other plans did he have? You know, like, and he just, him throwing the monkey wrench into the Lysander Cassius situation, like, he's really the cause of that. It's like, because he's so fucking evil. He saw his like one last chance.
Yeah.
To like, oh, I'm just going to throw
kill
a grenade
him faster,
in here.
Right.
Yes.
That's why we don't monologue.
Yeah, exactly.
No monologuing before we die. Just kill him.
I just think scariest villain by far. And like, especially during Dark Age, like anytime he would pop on or you'd hear about him, you'd just be like terrified for whoever's involved or near him or in proximity. You know, it's just like, well, they're going to die or something terrible's going to happen.
Him at that like second gala with the dogs and that scary shit.
Yeah. And then by Lightbringer, he's kind of got this legend for all of us as fans. And so it just like builds on it. And he's doing even more insane, scary shit by then. And then we really get to see the puppet master of it all by the time Lightbringer ends. So my favorite moment is from Lightbringer. It's him just as Helios, like doing the carving and like the whole
ship explosion. He did the whole arm thing. Oh my God. Yes. I forgot about that.
So crazy. Just a complete.
He gets a new face and then he gets his face back. Yes. Right?
Yeah. Just a complete mind fuck of a.
Fresh off the face table.
Right. Man. And I remember just being like, what the fuck? When I read that the first time, like that was just blew my mind.
When you think about how sick Atlas is, are you worried about Pierce at all?
No.
Are you worried about us in Red God?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
We're in for pain. There's no doubt.
There will be more pain in my future.
Are we down to 11 now?
11. All right. This is a crowd favorite. Mm. I put Fitchner at 11. Nice. And you already had Fitchner, right?
I did.
Father of the Rising, Mr. Daddy Ares. So many good moments. I had him for a short time, but a good time. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Favorite moment, of course, on the Sovereign ship when Darrow jumps on and ruins Fitchner's fucking life. He's just like, God damn it. And he basically makes a choice. And this is a tough choice. Fitchner spent years infiltrating the system, getting close to the Sovereign.
Oh yeah.
Becomes the Rage Knight through lots of trial and error and sneaky shit, and then he has to basically throw it all away just to save Darrow. I mean, that's a calculated choice,
right?
I think it's because he likes Darrow.
Oh yeah, he loves
him. Like, all right, I guess I'm going down with this fool. And that's also, it's not my favorite. I mean, my favorite quote is, it's always been me, boyo.
Yeah.
But I picked a different quote because that was my moment.
Yeah.
And it kind of like is who Ares is. And most call me Bronzy. Students call me Proctor. Some call me Rage Knight. The Sovereign calls me traitor. My son calls me shithead. And then Severo's like, you are a shithead. My wife called me Fitchner, but the golds made me Ares.
Hell
so that's just in one line encompasses who he is.
Yeah. Love Fitchner.
R.I.P.
This is a great call. Yep, R.I.P.
Last one, Ben.
All right, my number 11 is the Jackal. Adrius.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Didn't make my top 10, but right outside of it.
Okay. Are you including Abominadrius in the Jackal?
No, I'm considering that a separate character.
Separate person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just first trilogy, Jackal. I mean, you already said this.
He was the Atlas of the first trilogy.
Yes. Exactly.
Right?
Kind of like the precursor to Atlas. The puppeteer, the puppet master,
mm-hmm.
always kind of one step ahead of the protagonist, but then Darrow's one step ahead of him at the very end. So favorite moment, cutting his hand off. I mean, nothing gets
more. Yeah.
That's like, for me, that is just a seminal moment in the series. It's like, that's a oh shit moment where I'm like, this book series is going to be a different thing than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know, like,
unpredictable.
It's like it leveled up right there. Mm-hmm. And so I'll always remember that twist as like.
And then he kills Pax and you're like,
Pax.
He kills a beloved character.
And you're like, oh shit, I'm dealing with a motherfucker here. And that motherfucker is Pierce Brown.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Two motherfuckers.
Yeah, so yeah, to me, like that will always be a special, just like your first kind of Red Rising baptism.
Yes.
You know?
First tears, really.
Yes. And so it's a great moment and great villain. And then my favorite quote is between him and Darrow. And it's just, all my life I've been given lions, nothing of my own. What does it say about me that my greatest enemy knows me better than any friend? And he's talking about the scepter with the jackal on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just like shows you Adrius, like nobody sees him.
Well,
who, for like what
I
he
said,
truly is.
Big daddy issues.
Yeah.
And loneliness, yeah. You know?
So like the only people that actually see him are like Darrow, Mustang. They're like people that only like truly understand him.
Yeah. And see him as the psychopath.
Yes. And I just think that speaks to like his worldview a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it informs his character and how bitter he is and
how evil he is.
Yes. How evil he is, how much he wants to prove himself to mm-hmm. all these people that have doubted him or don't know him and
don't leave babies on rocks.
Don't understand him. Yeah. Yeah, the exposure on 3 days on the rocks.
We always say
so
that.
Wild.
We say, don't leave baby eyes on rocks.
Yeah,
we always say that.
We're big on that.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good list. It's getting more interesting
I
the
know.
Higher we get.
Top 10 starts.
I wonder if we're going to just fully align. Like, at what point do we have the same?
I don't know. I doubt we have. I would say, I bet we have some.
I mean, I know who your number one is, and it's not my number one. So, it's not going to be exactly the same.
Don't give it away.
Everyone knows who your number one is.
And maybe I'll surprise you.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet. So we'll see.
Look at all the things behind you.
We'll see.
All right.
You know what it's time for?
What are we into this week?
Aaron, what are you into this week?
Okay. It's not just this week, but I'm now on book 6 of Dungeon Crawler Carl. I started reading before you. Kevin from Beer is the Mind Killer mm-hmm. told us to read this. Thank you, Kevin. He's also got a lot of good art with Donut and Carl. Well, it's more like Donut and then some feet pics.
Got to pay the daddy tax.
Ben started after me and, of course, is already done. Or you're through 7.
Yep, I've read all 7.
There's going to be 8, right?
I think there's going to be like 10.
8, 9, 10. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyways, I'm almost done with 6, but it's great. I love it. This is one book where I'm actually like physically reading it, which is why it's taking me longer than the normal audiobook. But no spoilers. But if you haven't heard of it, look it up. It's Matt Dinneman, gigantic, thick books. Like,
yeah.
Like literally you could use them as weights.
Couple aren't too bad.
No, but by the time you get to 6, yeah. I walked around the mall with it and I was like, this is 6 pounds.
Yeah.
But they're really good.
Super fun.
Fun action, fast pace.
The first book really goes fast, I feel like.
Number 5 so far was like one of my favorite endings of a book. Yeah. It was
the
like
beginning and the ending of that book are amazing.
Epic. Yeah. Great books.
Whole series is really fun. I would say like,
and the community is like, you know.
Yeah. I know a lot
similar
of people
to Howlers
are recommending them, but like I'd stand by it. It's super fun. Super action packed. And then there's like, as the story goes on, like it seems like it's a story without a lot of depth maybe at the beginning. But the depth really grows And it kind of like, I don't know, speaks to our world right now, like a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like. And for me, I've, and then it's just like the stupidest, funniest stuff.
Really stupid. It's very crass. Yeah.
So like if you're easily offended, maybe not the series for you, but like, I don't know. Just really,
if you're here, then you're not easily offended. Right. So I'm not worried about you.
Really, really enjoyed
it. It's got like gamer vibes, like first person shooter game, but I'm not a gamer aside from the Sims.
Right.
So I like it still. So you don't have to be like, you know, into Halo or whatever.
Lots of pop culture references. I mean,
it's fun.
And like,
it's unserious.
Donut is probably deep, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
In a book series I've ever read.
It's great.
So
I'm trying really hard not to spoil anything.
I know. Can I don't want to either. But like,
what could we say? Just look it up.
Yeah.
Ben, what are you into?
I would say it starts like as this, like you think it's just this guy going through the dungeons and trying to get to the end of the level or whatever. But then it becomes kind of like a much bigger, there's political, there's espionage, there's
aliens.
Yeah, it like becomes a big, much larger kind of like geopolitical conspiracy kind of story along with him trying to make it through these levels. So
in general,
it really opens up.
All right. Dungeon crawler, what are you into?
I saw a movie this week called The Long Walk. It's a Stephen King movie, or a Stephen King book that got turned into a movie.
Did you read the book?
I've read the book.
Okay.
It's been a long time, so I was going to reread it.
It's been a long walk.
Yeah. But basically, it's kind of like about a dystopian America where for entertainment, they watch young men walk, and they do the long walk. It's like for entertainment, and what they do is
this
start walking.
This is like Romulus.
And they can't stop.
Oh, like Forrest Gump.
Yes. Kind of, yeah. They have to maintain a pace. If they fall under the pace, they get 3 warnings. Once you
do, they eat or pee or sleep,
and they can't stop walking. They can't sleep. Yeah, and then if they fall under the pace and get their 3 warnings, at the end of the 3 warnings, they get shot.
Oh,
and then it's the last man standing gets basically like whatever he wants. And
great,
yeah. So, but it's this. Follows kind of 2 characters mainly, but like one character is kind of like your main character, and it's just a really, really well done movie. They start becoming like the boys become friends
on and they're
the
walking together.
Yeah. And then
are they like, you know, the speedwalkers with the weighted vest?
Right. And then they start dying. I cried like 6 separate times.
Oh.
Like it was like,
you're crying. I can't watch it.
Also, I would like, trigger warning, is very graphic violence as far as
like watching
part.
Someone
so be ready for
it's
that.
It's not like movie violence.
It's just like it's right in front of your face.
Yeah they don't cut.
Yes, there's no cutting. So if you're not into that type of thing, I could see it being very disturbing.
I might sit that out.
But it's also like within all this like terribleness and death and horrible, we're making people walk to their death
because they're
basically
so desperate.
Yeah, because it's like they're very poor. Everyone's trying to do this to like get out of poverty, basically. And
are they wearing Asics?
America's at war and all this stuff. Like, I don't know. They were mostly wearing boots, but anyway, like the way the movie does it, it just becomes this like very beautiful thing on like friendship and like.
But they know someone's gonna die,
right? But they become friends and like support each other through the walk, and then like. Have this like beautiful, they find the beautiful moments within all of this horrible dystopian ugliness around them. And I don't know, it's like at the same time, like I could see someone coming out of it being very turned off and like that sucked and like that was very depressing. But I came out, I was like, that's pretty beautiful. Like these 2 kids like met, become really good friends. They like support each other and it's like had this like beautiful friendship on this 6-day walk or whatever.
When you walk now, are you like picturing them walking?
Not really.
You're like, at what pace?
Yeah, they have to maintain like a 3-mile-per-hour pace.
Is that fast?
It's decently fast.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like if you get on a treadmill, 3 miles an hour is like you definitely have to
you're
like
moving.
You're
you're trying.
My God. That is a very strange premise.
It is. I mean, it's very Stephen King, right? But I thought it was like extremely well done. And the acting in it is really great. Philip Seymour Hoffman's son is the main kid.
Oh.
Cooper Hoffman. He seems like he's going to be a really good actor that we're going to watch for many years. So,
what's it on?
I saw it theaters. It's in theaters right now.
Oh, okay.
Now. Yeah.
You went without me?
I did. Well, I didn't think you would want to go see it.
Sure. So when you said you cried a bunch, you were crying in the theater?
Yeah.
Nice. We love a theater cry. I do it all the time. Extra napkins.
By myself.
Yeah.
It was like there's the weird guy on the end of the road.
I'm sure you heard other sniffles.
Yeah. So, but great. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed
it. Long walk.
So.
Well, what are we doing next week?
We'll be continuing the Prime 25. So we'll be counting down our top 10.
Almost to the top 5.
Yeah. So we'll be doing numbers 10 through number 6.
Perfect.
Some really good ones coming up.
I'm excited to see who's on my list.
I am too.
Great. Special thanks to Miles for the episode art as always. And special thanks to those who have emailed us. We're going to read some emails soon. Mm-hmm. They're coming in hot. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel and Instagram and TikTok. And follow us at HowlerPod on Instagram, at HowlerPod Official TikTok. Email us at HowlerPod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Leave a voicemail, 1-800-516-1540. You know.
Tell us who's in your top 5.
Pick them.
Yeah.
We'll read them out loud. And also, find links to all this on HowlerPod.com. And rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, we'll make you walk with your best friend, and then we'll...
Oh, gosh.
I laughed. I was like, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah. But, I mean, all you got to do is give us 5 stars.
Just 5 stars, and you can avoid all of that heartache and death.
Yep. All right. Thanks, howlers.
Omnisphere lupus. Ow!